gosh. Don't want to miss this. Let me get settled here. I tell you, I can already tell. In fact, I said it before the service started to Debbie. We have no control over this service today. I mean, this is just it's one of those Sundays. Yeah. It's one of those Sundays where God's got it, and we're just going to roll along with it. We call that in the worship team meeting hustle and flow. So we're going to hustle and let God flow. Amen? All right, let me try to keep some tea going. So, today's scripture is a little bit different. The Apostle Paul was a man who was converted by something amazing and powerful that came to earth. It was the love of God. He didn't just make a few changes in his life. His whole life was reformed, turned upside down, changed forever because of what God did for him. In fact, he became a completely different kind of person. Completely different because of what God did for him. So I want to read you a scripture verse today that the Apostle Paul wrote when he wrote a letter to the church in Rome. And this church was like most important church in his heart for him. I mean, if Jesus is going to have a movement in the world, there's got to be one in Rome, right? It's like there's got to be a presence in New York City or Los Angeles. There has to be something going on in Rome, and he could never get there. He was either in prison or somewhere else in the world, but he wrote these letters to the church in Rome, and he wanted them to know what God had done in his life. So it was kind of like when I read this, anybody ever watch the show Mission Impossible? I used to love that show. And at the beginning of every week, Mr. Phelps would go somewhere secret and pull out a little tape recorder and press play. And the first words that were said were always... Good morning, Mr. Phelps. Your mission... This is kind of like that. That letter that Paul wrote to Rome. It's like, this is like a Mission Impossible. You know, this may not seem like it's doable, but I'm just going to come right out and tell you the truth. I'm just going to say it like it is. I'm just going to lay it out there. This is what this movement of Jesus is all about. First thing he says is, I, Paul, am writing this letter. Now, back in those days, that wasn't always the case. People would write things in the name of other people all the time. People they were disciples of, or people they learned from, or people they heard about, and they would put it in their name. So oftentimes when you read Paul's letters, it doesn't necessarily mean Paul wrote it. But this letter was so important. He wanted everybody to know, including us today, that Paul wrote this letter. I am writing this letter. I serve Christ Jesus. Now that's right to the point, isn't it? And you know, we can't just zip over that without really taking it in. I, Paul, am writing this letter, and here's what my life is all about. I can say it in one sentence. I serve Christ Jesus. You think you could ever say that? You could say that today? Is that what we're doing here? Isn't that a life's mission right there? I serve Christ Jesus. He goes on, I have been appointed to be an apostle. So in my service to God, I have a role I play. God gave me the role of apostle, teacher, set apart to share the good news. Go ahead, back one, Dan. Back one. This is just how it's going to go today. God set me apart to tell others his good news. So that's Paul's life, right? I serve Christ Jesus as an apostle to go all across the world preaching the good news. Okay. What good news? It's the good news God promised long ago. He announced it through his prophets in the scriptures, right? We know that. The good news is about One thing. God's Son. The good news is about God's Son. God's Son, who was born into the family line of King David. He has a Jewish ancestry. Okay. By the Holy Spirit, he was appointed to be the mighty Son of God. So you get two things about this God's Son. He has a human lineage from King David, and he has a spiritual lineage from the Holy Spirit. Fully human, fully divine. God did this by raising him from the dead. Resurrection is real. It's happened. He says it matter-of-factly, like everyone would, of course, agree with that. God did it by raising him from the dead. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. So what is that good news for us? We received grace because of what Jesus did. The sacrifice Jesus made was for everybody, not just the chosen few. Everybody is now open to the grace that God has. He made us apostles to the Gentiles. That's who we are in this room right here. We are now called to be apostles to the world. We must invite all of them to obey God by trusting in Jesus. That's what we're doing. That's what's going on here. That's our calling. Invite all people to trust God by trusting in Jesus. We do this to bring glory to him. Okay. You also are among those Gentiles who are appointed to belong to Jesus Christ. It's for you. So I am sending this letter to all of you in Rome. You are loved by God and appointed to be his holy people. The appointment's already there. Receiving the appointment is on you. Appointed to be his holy people. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Your mission, if you decide to accept it, is to make those words come true in your life, in our life as a church. Go ahead, Dan. Because this is what God did for us. People ask me sometimes, why am I a Christian? Well, for one, I'm not even sure what that word means anymore, so I'm very careful about saying something like what Paul just said. I serve Jesus Christ. But that's not how I became a Christian. I became a Christian because of the love that Jesus Christ brought to earth. The love that came down. The love of God that became part of human history and part of my history. You know about that love. I do. Paul does. It's an unconditional, all-forgiving, never-ending love. I don't ever want you to forget that. It's unconditional. It's all-forgiving, and it's never-ending. And at a point in my life, when I had nowhere else to go, nobody else to turn to, couldn't even save myself, nor could those who love me most, love came down. I don't mean a human love, I mean a divine love. And that love embraced me. And that love saved me. And now I live to serve Jesus Christ. Because that love that came down was Jesus. Wasn't somebody else. Wasn't another religion. Wasn't a magician. It was Jesus. I saw him. And that's why I'm a Christian. It's also why Paul's a Christian. Because just when he had reached the bottom, He had become about as despicable as someone can be. He was a first century religious terrorist, extremist. And then love came down and interrupted his life. And Jesus said, "Paul, why do you persecute me?" Paul became a Christian. He became a Christian because Jesus saved him, turned him into a new creation. So I ask you today, have you thought about why you're a Christian? Are you a Christian because you're a lifer and you just go to church every Sunday and you do what you're supposed to do? Go to Sunday school classes, get baptized, serve in the church, try to live your life the best you can? Because all that is really important, good stuff. But it's not why love came down. You could do all that without ever knowing Jesus Christ. I mean, really knowing him. Why you should be a Christian is because God's put God's love in your heart and you became something new. You gained a new identity. You became a new person. You see, here's how it works. When love comes down into your life, the first thing you do is like what you're doing right now. You encounter it. It comes into your life. You hear about it. You might even see it. There's an encounter with Jesus Christ. For many, many, many people, that's as far as it goes. They can come to church every Sunday and encounter Jesus. Learn about him. Read about him. Pray to him. But it can still be an encounter. Nothing more. But the next step in conversion is beyond an encounter. It's an experience. You experience the love of God in your heart. You know it because it's something you've never experienced before. It makes you think about things you've never thought before. Act in ways you never would act until this. It changes you as a person, or at least begins to. It's turning a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. You're experiencing something that came from God to earth and now in your life. And it's changing you. So you encounter and then you experience. You open your heart up to what you're encountering. And as you experience this love from God, you gain a new vision of yourself. You start to consider who you really are. Because now you realize your identity goes way beyond what the world tells you you are. Your job title, your role in the family, your role in the community, and all those other roles that you play on a daily basis. That's how most people define their life. We talk about it all the time. But when you experience the love of Christ, you start to get a new self-identity. You serve Jesus Christ. It happens in drips, you know. Paul was knocked off a horse, but even then, he couldn't handle it. It took days for him to realize. You encounter, you experience, and you start to be changed. You are starting to become a different person. And then as you pursue that, if you do, there comes a time in your life when you are a new identity, when you are a different person. What does that mean, a different person? Tell us what that means. It's kind of like this. When you get married, you have had an encounter with someone. You will begin to experience life with them. It's called marriage. You will start to get a different view of your role in the world, 13 years of it, and you will become literally a changed person. You will become a husband. At least that's the plan. Some people don't do that. Some people don't make those leaps. But you know, you're all of a sudden you're different in the world now. Whether you're a parent or a grandparent or a husband or wife, it's kind of how it happens in life. Only this is so much more. Because this includes everything in your life. Because when you serve Jesus Christ, there's nothing that's not part of your life for Christ. There's nothing that's not part of your life for Christ. And everything in your life gets changed. And everybody that you meet and encounter gets changed. You offer drips and drops to folks all around you so that they can learn about God and to trust in Jesus Christ. Not that long ago, we were reading through the book of Genesis, right? Started at the very beginning. The story of Adam and Eve. Two people who, as they were created, were living in complete harmony with God. As they were created, right? They had it all together. The garden, the creatures, the trees, each other. Perfect harmony. But remember when they fell, they ate the fruit? And one of the curses that God put on us was childbirth, which is really a blessing. Because now we can co-create with God people who inhabit this world. And I've been told, although I'm not really aware of it, that it can be a little bit painful. Little uncomfortable. Sometimes to the point where it's almost overbearing, right? That's what God gave to us. Now we co-create with God people in the world. And I would say, this is just a guess, I don't want to go out, you know, too far out, that pain is all worth it. It's all worth it. Because then you have a new creation that you and God are part of. And you would end up going through anything for that. And you'll end up doing anything for the creation. The question of Christmas is, will you let that happen to yourself? Will you let yourself be born again to be a new creation? And as I went through those four steps, I made it sound easy. And it's the hardest thing you can do in your life, to really do it. And sometimes it will seem unbearable. And you'll feel like you can't make it. But God is with you every step of the way. And God will deliver you. I'm proof that it happens. And all that pain and suffering that I went through to be reborn isn't just worth it. It's now a blessing in my life because it led me to this point. So when you think about Christmas this year and love coming down, I want you to think about yourself. Where are you as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus? I'm guessing everyone in here has had an encounter. Some encounter, like right now. How willing are you to have the experience, the living Spirit of God in your heart? You've had those experiences. You know it when you feel it. But do you pursue it? Do you seek that for your whole life? And do you begin to let God change you? Remold you. Form you not into something brand new, but into something God created originally with you. The person God created you to be. And then you take on a new identity. Disciple of Jesus Christ. And like Paul, you now serve Jesus every day. That's the greatest Christmas gift you can ever give. And you give it to God. You re-gift God, right? Because God has already given his whole life for you. So Tuesday or Wednesday, you give your whole life to God. And you then become one like Paul, who serves the whole world by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's a Christmas. And you can affect Christmas in your life and everyone around you just by agreeing to do that for one day. When you wake up, say this: today, in all my fallibility and weakness, all my limitations and failures, today, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I serve the Lord Jesus. And then get out of bed and ask God to show you how to do it today, because every day is different. And then you become a present yourself on Christmas, not just to God, but to everybody around you and everybody you'll meet. That's how Christmas works. That's what God wants. That's his calling for you this Christmas. So Merry Christmas. I bet you never thought you were the present on Christmas Day. Amen. Amen. Hang on. We're not there yet. I'm telling you, this is so much fun, I can hardly stand it. We like to be organic in our service and just give God a lot of space and room to, you know, do what God needs to do. And we are achieving that today. So, we're going to pray. And I just want to do this for our prayer today. It came to me this morning, and I said, okay, that's what I'll pray. So much to be grateful for that I lose sight of it in all the other things that I put on myself. I just started thinking about like what I just shared with you all when Ruth Ann gave me the card, how God has worked from that very first moment when I started to experience God to today right now. And I look out and there are so many blessings. It's almost unbelievable. I think we're almost, you know, kind of hesitant to be so grateful for everything God has done. So I want you to think about that. With all that you're going through today, all the things that are weighing on your heart, all the concerns you have about things you haven't done or things you didn't do right, things you left undone, and then how God makes all things perfect. And if you don't believe me, look around in your life. There's not a circumstance or a situation in this world that God will not turn to a blessing in a way only God can do. Not one. Never has been, never will be. And it's not just true for the world, but it's true for you. All the fear, you learned a lot more about faith. All those worries, God shows you that you'll always get through them, that God always makes a way. So, my prayer this morning is gratitude. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service today. And we know that, you know, you're in control of this service, God. And we're going to keep trying to stay out of your way, because we know that when you lead, all things work for good. This morning, we just want to express our grateful hearts to all that you are doing in our life and all that you have yet to do, because we know that in your presence, all things work for good. In Jesus Christ, amen. Let's stand and sing.